Good evening, everybody. Welcome along to the Dharmaloka Centre tonight, another Wednesday night, a guided meditation. As you can see tonight, I have next to me Louisa. She was here last week, but unfortunately her name got, when I was introducing to you, especially those that were on the internet, the first part dropped off. So I've got great pleasure in introducing you here again tonight. Louisa will give us a hand tonight and do the meditation part of the session tonight. When I hand over to her in a minute, she'll also just give us a little bit of a rundown on the care group, which is one of the main reasons why we like to do this meditation on a Wednesday night, so that we can let everybody know that the care group lines are open, and they're open right now. And there's people manning the phones right now. So Louise will tell you a little bit about a bit more about that in a moment. I would just like to continue on a little bit with what we were talking about last week, just with regard to the stillness that we've been trying to talk about and point to here over the last few Wednesday nights, just in relation to how that stillness is very helpful for you to be able to listen to yourself as well as listening to others. Indeed, this is why this particular thing ties into the care group itself, because the care group people are listeners. They've kind of trained themselves, and we've offered training here to help them understand just what it is to listen. And as I've been mentioning the last few times, it's a very it doesn't happen that often, actually, in the world where people do really truly listen to one another. But when you can really truly listen to one another, it's a great thing for somebody who's troubled or has trauma in their lives, because the person really does feel like they're cared for, they're loved, and this is a wonderful experience. And I've been introducing one or two topics that go with all of this over the times that we've been talking here. And I'd like just tonight to emphasise just the way that it's very important to, when we're looking out into the world, to realise that we're looking out into our own personal universe. So from my point of view, when I look out here, I'm looking at Dennis's universe. This is really my take on the universe. And as you look back at me, this is your universe. And we each have our own individual takes on this universe. None of us really blend together in that way. We all have our own individual take on this particular universe. But it's a really interesting thing to know what to do when that realization really hits home, because then we realize that when we're dealing with our universe, we're really able to make. We know that when we're working with things, if there's any trauma or trouble in the universe, you know, we know that we've got the opportunity to make that universe peaceful, to make it happy. I mean, it's not always possible to do that, of course, because there might be circumstances beyond your control that you can't ever get to do that, and you get swept up in various problems and troubles. But in terms of our meditation, if we see the situation like this, where we're looking out into our own universe and we know, we start to realise that we can make our universe peaceful, it's a great boon to our practice. Our practice really starts to sing, because we gradually, in a way, kind of withdraw ourselves. It's a bit like becoming nobody yourself, but you're kind of offering service to your universe in order to make your universe peaceful. And this is really what the Buddha did. when the Buddha realised what he did and becoming enlightened, he, and we all kind of know that the teachings there too, there, he really did become nobody. There was really nobody there. But still this very powerful presence, this very powerful universe that he was living in himself, and he was able to affect the lives of many, many people, and is still doing that now 2,500 years on from that, where he's able to, his teachings are here for us all to work with, to be with, and to be able to help aid us in making our universes peaceful and kind, while we're really doing, trying to emulate the same thing that he did in in a way becoming nobody, and at the same time giving the service out into the universe. And that's it's a marvellous thing to think about this when we're looking at the care group too, because that's in effect what the people that are on the phone lines there listening tonight are doing. They're really there to offer service. All the people that come along to this Buddhist society, the people that help on the committees, helping with the various things that we do, they're all offering service here. And the more service that you can offer, in actual fact, the better off you become in your own practice, because you're starting to you're really starting to come into tune with the present moment. And we've talked about the present moment a lot over the last little while. And so in having said that, there's sort of various things in the way that all of this works as we're trying to think about our practice and how we can kind of make our practice work better, the way that we can allow our practice to become more truthful, and as we start to live more into the reality of the present moment, when we're doing that, we sort of can see that there's plenty of things that we need to work with. And one of the things I was going to bring on tonight just to talk about is really what the Buddha talked about is the 32 parts of the body. So I really just remember about the first five. I'll have to just check my list just to follow the other 32. But it starts off that those that will be familiar with this, with hair of the body, hair of the head, nails, teeth, skin, and then so on it goes. But really many people use this practice of contemplating into their body just to notice just what is really real there. You know, quite often when I'm doing this, I kind of think about this for myself. You know, you imagine your nails, well, the hair of your head. You know, we all know that, you know, when the hair, you go to have a haircut, you're not really, the hair that gets left behind is not so much of a big problem, the hair on the barber's floor. We don't sort of grieve for the hair so much. And the same with your nails and your teeth. You know, even if your teeth maybe need to be pulled out or adjusted or filled or whatever happens to them. But you start to get the idea that these component parts of your body are not really you. Your nails, you know, we cut our nails and can discard that nail quite well. But probably it might be a little bit more difficult if you, you know, maybe lose an arm or something like that. I notice that now as I'm losing my sight. But once again, you can sort of see that the sight, you know, is not really Dennis. The sight is sort of an aid that works with me and helps me interpret what's happening in the world. But these component parts are very useful to contemplate. And I will just read through the list of them. So the 32 parts of the body is hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinews, bones, bone marrow, kidney, heart, liver, membranes, spleen, lungs, large gut, small gut, contents of stomach, feces, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, skin, grease, spittle, snot, oil, on oil of the joints. So that makes up the 32 parts that the Buddha listed in the suttas. So when you start to contemplate some of those things, I mean, I notice that when the monastics, when the monks sort of do work with these 32 parts of the body, very often they can turn it into something that maybe makes you want to be a little bit loathsome of the body. But if you're going to do that, I mean, and that might be a reasonable way to practice, if you've got a strong attachment to your body, once you start contemplating things like this, you can certainly start to allow your body to be just to really see it more as it is, you know, as just part of this earth. And we've been talking about that a fair bit in the last few weeks too, just the way that we realise that we are part of this earth, grounded into the earth, and then connected into the universe. We are part of this universe. So, but when we see all these components, if it is, you know, if we are looking towards making it like an exercise of trying to separate yourself from your body, you've always, you know, always in this practice, there needs to be that balance the other way too, to be able to look at this stuff, to see it all with gratitude, to see the way that when our breath comes in, the air coming in, how it's life-giving and how it's beautiful and how our bodies, in the way that the universe and nature has made us, is a beautiful thing. So there's always this balance that we need to look at. But in terms of being able to work with the way that the Buddha wanted us to work with these 32 parts of the body, we need to be able to see the body really for what it is. And then gradually, as you start to move away from understanding, or an understanding of the body as me and mine, and this is, you know, this is the ultimate me. As you start to move away from that, you start moving more into the mind, more into the seeing this from the mind space, and then eventually you'll get to see how the mind does create all of the conditions that we have going on in the world. And then bit by bit, as the practice goes on, you start to see what the Buddha was talking about when he talked about the three characteristics of all things. The three characteristics, first of all, being dukkha, because he certainly is saying here in all of these things, and especially into the 32 parts of the body, and the way that we hold on to those and the way that we understand ourselves to be, not quite the right way, it's a little bit sort of jaundiced, the view of ourselves and the way we are in the world. And what he was trying to do, I think, is to get us to see things in the right way, the first noble truth of right view, the right view of things. And then, as we've been talking about in the last few weeks, as we do sort of settle back into our minds and we get back into the still consciousness that's there, into the stillness that's right there, we're starting to get closer to what it is that we're living with here, just this aggregation of conditions really that bring us into existence and I think in the way that we end up hanging on to them and we're grasping on to these conditions so that we you know, we really believe that, you know, this is Dennis is a real person, and to some extent I am. When I'm saying these things, I never ever want to lose the balance that's there between when we're contemplating things like this in a direction that's a little bit awry, you might say, back with the absolute beauty and the wonderful situation it is to have a life like we've got, and living in a world like we've got, and looking after that world as well. But you start to see, as all these conditions aggregate, and I've sort of been through that over the last couple of weeks too, looking at the five aggregates, you start to see how our bodies really are like little worlds inside worlds inside worlds. We've got, you know, different things happening for the way that the nails and the teeth and the skin work. There's a whole lot of little systems in there that are all kind of operating inside the one big system. It's all like a very symbiotic kind of relationship that's going on with all of these little things. I was just going to tell you a story tonight, a personal story really, that really turned me onto this, or maybe made me sort of realise this so deeply. And it was actually, the day that it happened was actually the 26th of February, so just really yesterday, but back in 2007, and at around 6:30 on that night was the night that my first wife died. And it was, you know, that was really, I'll maybe say a little bit more about that later on in other talks that perhaps I give. I have mentioned this before, but on that night that she died, of breast cancer. But previous to that, we'd been kind of working with all sorts of things that were troubling her, as well as the way that the breast cancer was working inside her. But lots of other things were happening too, like her feet were just terrible. You know, she had sores and ulcers and that sort of thing. And it was the feet in particular that I was kind of thinking about with this, because we were trying very difficult to get all that sort of healed, you know, healing things. And there's various other things too that were happening to her that we had got healed. But then, so the night that she died, there was a lot of people at the house actually when she died, and I made a thing for everybody to come back at 7 o'clock the next morning. So we had quite a house full of people there, because we were going to do a little ceremony for her, which we did at 7 o'clock in the morning with many, many, many of her friends. But what we did, everybody that was there got the opportunity to bathe her. So we washed her feet. Didn't have a naked or anything like that, but we bathed her feet, and her face was visible, and all her friends were able to just use warm water, and we had white towels, and people were able to just to wash her feet and wash her face and dry her and be tender with her, and just in their own ways to say goodbye. But what was really striking for me is when I really got down to her feet myself, and I was kind of cleaning her feet, you know, because I guess I knew this anyway, but it just sort of struck me this on that morning, the 7 o'clock the next morning. It just struck me that her feet were quite well healed, you know, after all those weeks of sort of ulcers and things like that. Her feet did gradually get healed, but it was a sort of an ironic healing, really, because she was dead, you know. So it just showed me really how these little systems inside systems, wheels within wheels, and everything that works inside us is like this, is in this symbiotic relationship that takes us deeper and deeper into the complexity that is, you know, what it is to live in the human condition like we do. And of course that's the same in our minds too, and indeed, I think that's probably why our minds are so complicated, why they spin so much, and why it's very difficult to stay with the stillness and be still with these sorts of situations. So that aggregation is really, it's there for us all to notice and see. And these reflections like this, the 32 parts of the body, are very, very useful, I think. Very useful just to allow us, hopefully, to detach somewhat, to move back from just grasping onto and holding onto our bodies in the way that we might tend to do, so that we can just be more relaxed around it, more peaceful around it, so that we can bring that level of balance and equanimity into our minds to be able to sort of see the truth of the way things are, the way that things happen. So what I might do is just leave those comments there, and I'm just going to now pass over to Louisa, who will just maybe pick up on that, but I know that she wants to also pick up on some ideas of kindness, so we'll do that.
Hi, good evening. Thank you, Dennis. That was a subject that I definitely can hook into. Did not prepare for that, but yeah. So for viewers that watching this live or watching this on replay, thank you for joining, first of all. And as you can see here in the screen, we have, as we speak, we have a care group line running. We have actually listeners sitting in their chairs at the moment, right, the building next to us. Today is Wednesday, so if you watch this on replay, the care group is there for you on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, every week so far, till further notice. The timing is below here as well. It's Perth time, so it's GMT plus 8. So after we finish the meditation, the care group is still open for another hour. Why is this so important? And why do I talk about this? Not just the fact that, like what Dennis said, we often don't have the chance to be heard, to be listened to properly, or from my experience, I may not have the chance to actually speak. And the care group line is a beautiful opportunity, not just for yourself as a caller, but also for the listener to practice. They actually get joy out of being there, out of being there in service, and being able to give that listening ear. So what I would like to stress with this is, please do not feel like a burden. Do not feel like, oh, but my problems are small or it's not significant. It is actually, you may know that from experience, just to get something, even something small off your chest, can actually result in feeling so much lighter that you didn't even know you were carrying that. And in that sense, you do yourself a service, but you also give a service to the call, to the listener on the other end. Because they travel and they actually hope for phone calls. They actually also feel something in themselves, and often we can all relate to each other. So wherever you are in the world, if you're listening from in America or India or Europe, please, it's I know it's not easy. It can be quite sometimes the easiest way not to talk about your what's going on. But yeah, I invite you to give it a go. It's there, so, and it's available, and it's received with a lot of gratitude, let me tell you that. So that is my thing about the care group. And In regards to what Dennis mentioned about the 32 body parts, it just dawned on me, we are all part of, be part of this earth, we're all part of this earth, and it dawned on me, like, it actually made sense. I went on a Vipassana retreat, or a course, however you want to call it, and one of the participants, she had a tattoo on her thigh, quite prominent, saying, "I am garbage." And my initial reaction was like, oh, is she really depressed? Is she talking about herself? But this was a year and a half ago when I didn't know much about the body contemplation. And now again, when Dennis mentioned things like snot and tears and whatnot and nails and hair, that eventually it's kind of trash if you think of that, or garbage. So it has nothing to do with this person. So just now I just felt like, we're all part of the earth. We're all garbage in the end, in be it good or bad. It's not a personal thing. We all get recycled. So you can say, I am compost, if garbage is too harsh. That was quite a mind opener. So thank you for sharing that. And earlier I thought as well, you know, how usually some of you have tuned into this channel, been here before, we used to have this, these letters out here that would say, be kind, make peace, and be gentle. And I got inspired by that last week because it had the sign saying, be kind. And I was like, what is it to be kind? And I was, what is it to be kind? Oh, that's to be nice, kind. And then I got triggered by something what I heard. Someone was saying, something totally unrelated on a podcast, and they were saying something like, people in this city are kind but not nice. They will tell you when you have spinach in your teeth. They will tell you that in your face. And I was like, a light bulb went off in my head, and for the last week I've been thinking about it. Like, how many times we think we are actually nice, and we're doing a nice thing to a person, for a person. But is it actually really nice? Is it actually really kind? For example, it's in this case, if, you know, we all have maybe a colleague or someone who maybe had something in his face or in his mouth, and you're like, I really want to say something about it, but I'm not. Because for whatever reason, maybe you're afraid, maybe you just want to be nice, maybe you're like, sad, maybe it will go away. But it won't. If the spinach is there or the booger is there, it will stay there. And that person keeps walking around. So you think you're being nice, but if you stand back for a moment or muster up the courage to say something about it, you might actually prevent that person from maybe some not so pleasant situations. That can work either way. For example, what I noticed in this week specifically, I spoke with a friend and I had a memory of something that I wasn't happy with. I could easily let it slide and let it be, which I did for maybe a year. And then this week I just put up the courage to clarify it with this person and said, look, back then you said this and this, and I don't want you to feel like bad in that way. And that person came back to me and saying, but we talked that over and I thought everything was fine. And I was like, okay, but do you feel bad about it? And that person was like, no, I can't, no. And I was like, okay, thank God. And I'm happy. If you're happy, then I may be wrong. That might have been triggered by something else, but I'm glad you felt we're good. And this just, it was on my chest, but not heavily. But the moment you speak about it, even though it's not nice to bring it up, it's actually, and because it's also not nice because I was wrong. Very humbling. It's actually really kind for the friendship, but regardless if you want a friendship, if you put a friendship on a high value, yes or no, because a similar incident happened with another mate of mine, and I confronted that, yeah, sort of a business partner of mine, a business contact of mine, and in that case, yeah, that person was able to explain himself, and then that story spiraled into Buddhism. So who knew that something sometimes yeah, keeping the peace is really nice, but sometimes it's also kind for the greater good of both to actually open up a small can of worms. And and on the way driving here, I thought of another friend of mine. And you might all relate to this. That's why I'm sharing this story. This is more of a work-related a story. And you may find this suitable to your own life. My friend saw someone speeding at work a couple of years back. So said nothing about it. Be fine. And perhaps maybe 2 weeks later, saw the person again doing something with the truck that wasn't really, but you know, oh well, be fine. Although it is not fine. That person knew it wasn't fine, but for many reasons, the person didn't want to say something. It's either, oh, I'm too busy, or there's too much paperwork involved, or I don't want to rock the boat. Like, we all know that. I don't want to rock the boat, or, oh, it's fine, it's not that bad. Then I think another few weeks passed by, and that person who witnessed that was actually and got actually into an accident with the same truck and kind of got entangled in the wheel and ended up in hospital for nearly a year. Why am I saying this? Because I hope that anyone can now see, like, and maybe for themselves reflect later on, like, oh, the things that are, that you think are nice or polite to do, or let's rock the boat, or just easier not to say or do or act, or she'll be fine, that that actually can have other consequences. By thinking you're being nice, but is it actually really kind? Is it actually really kind for that for another person to let the person walk around with a spinach in the teeth? Or is it actually not kind for a person to get away, let that person get away with things? You know, just because it's just easier for yourself, or you're afraid. Often people act out of fear, including myself, of not wanting to disturb. And yeah, that's why I saw a sudden difference in, you can be kind, but it's not always, you can be kind, but it's not always nice. It's not always nice to confront or say something. Of course, there's a way how to say things. That's a whole different technique. And yeah, and sometimes you can be nice, but you cannot, you know, but actually you're not really kind. So that's what I was thinking about the last few days. And I found it very interesting for myself. And I can see myself now. Yeah, thanks for letting me share that. And yeah, and I hope you you get something out of this subtle difference between kindness and niceness. And so, yeah, with this, I would like to guide you into a meditation. And if you feel like you need to have a drink of water, then now is the time. So so then during the meditation, you will not have that urge or not have that excuse, because we're not going to meditate long enough to be dehydrated. And because often that might also be the mind saying, oh, I want a distraction. So if you want to have to drink drink or a sip, then now's the time, or a little stretch, or a little movement. So when I guide you in meditation, a part will be a guided talk, and a part will be silence. And then at the end, I will ring the gong, if I can reach that. And then we'll slowly get out of it. So for now, okay, once you had your drink and you had your stretch, there we go, close our eyes. Okay, and feel in the belly, and feel the air that brings us life into the belly. It's hard enough if you're a chest breather. And see if you can do that. We're going to bring our attention into the body. And we're going to ground ourselves into our buttocks, into our feet, into our cushion, or the floor, the carpet. And imagine roots coming out into the carpet, into the ground. And for those here in Perth, imagine your roots going out into the earth, spreading like the roots of a tree. And with this, we acknowledge the land that we're on. Perth is the land of the Wadjuk Noongar people. And with this, we acknowledge the elders that have gone before us, those that are present, and those yet to come, their culture, their nature, and their land. For those on YouTube, spread your roots out into the ground and where you are, and acknowledge the earth that is carrying you, that is supporting you, that's asking nothing of you, and that gives you with nutrients and takes all your compost and garbage without asking anything in return. Keep breathing into those roots and know that you're grounded and know that you're safe. From that position on, imagine that you're walking onto a grassland or a forest. Temperature is pleasant. You feel the wind on your skin. What do you smell around you? What do you hear? Let those sounds be. Let those smells be. Next 20 minutes, there's nothing to do and nowhere to be. Contrary to perhaps some of the beliefs, contrary to some of your day, you've been running around. This is the time for you. Keep walking on the path in the forest, keep walking. And feel the ground underneath you. And as you walk, you'll see a formation on your left. It is actually a cave. looks very peaceful and deserted. I invite you to walk into that cave. It's very pleasant here, very pleasant climate. Just sit down. And now you have the silence of the cave. There is no need for thoughts. Let them flow by. And tell yourself, yes, I want to sit in this silence. No matter my bodily condition, aches and pains and all, let them arise and let them flow while you choose to go deeper in the stillness. No need for shopping lists or things to do lists. This is your time and you deserve it. You showed up for yourself. Everything else can wait. This is where perfection is made by being here, showing up for yourself. You are perfect. You are still. Go a bit deeper. You are safe. from this space of perfectness and calmness. Know that this space has no end and that it is always here inside of you and for you, and therefore this perfectness is inside of you and part of you. It is not outside of you. So with that, I would like you to think about one good thing you've done for yourself today, for yourself. Can be for someone else, but for yourself. And even can't think of anything. The fact that you tuned in to this meditation, let that be the self-care part of the day that you give to yourself. And the fact that we're here with each other. Next few moments, just think about that. Let any joy arise. And any other feelings arise, they're all welcome, but let the joy come up as well. With this joy, have this joy generated inside of us. With this joy, we can give it to something or somewhere else. Now our cup is full. From this cave, from this stillness, I would like to invite you to think about a particular country that you have no attachments to, or that you have attachments to. Just give for the sake of giving the joy that came out of your heart, that arose. From contemplating the one good deed we did today. One of the many, I'm sure. Pick a country in your mind. Any random country will do. And just give for the sake of giving. We're not here to fix anything. We all can use a bit more joy in our lives.
And once you feel you're given enough, come back to yourself in this cave, in this silence, and drop in. Drop in a bit deeper. Let's enjoy this silence. If you have experienced that you find it hard to drop deep in because of your bodily condition, ask yourself, what is it that you want this moment to be? That answer, I invite you to put that aside for a moment. Just have no expectations. And tell yourself, give yourself that permission to drop in again and deeper. Up your own cup. You see, you're feeling your cup is full. If you like to share this experience with someone else, please invite that someone else and see, you call the name of someone or the pet walks up to the cave and invites him or her or it or them in the cave, the cool, silent, darkish cave, comfortably. Up to them if they accept it. You put out the invite. No need to force. And with that, you breathe out from your heart to the creature near you, to the person near you, the people near you. And you see it's a two-way street. Has no choice other than to get back to you. Same feelings you put out come back to you. Feelings of trust, expressing your gratitude, expressing seeing the good in the other person and acknowledging that. When you do that, know that you're also acknowledging the good in yourself. And with this, with this feeling in your heart, you thank each other's presence for showing up together, where much can generate much more, but also by ourselves. That's where it starts, and that's what we will be, generate by ourselves. So thank yourself for tuning in, for driving down, for making this space in your mind, and for allowing yourself into the stillness for the last 25 minutes. And soon I will ring the gong. And slowly come out of it and remember the many good things you've just done in the last hour. Welcome back, welcome back. And my deepest thanks for all that are present here and online, and couldn't have done it without you. And thank you for showing up for yourself, which means an inspiration for me to show up more for me, and hopefully for those that view and watch this on replay. Remember the Caroline, it's there, and it's a joy to be. So I'd like to close this off, and this, unless Dennis would like to say something.
Thank you, Louisa, for that wonderful meditation. So we are on time at the moment, so we'd like to invite you all back over to the Vihara for a cup of tea and a little bit of a chat, if you like. And to the people on the net, bid you all farewell, and we'll see you again next Wednesday night. We will, from time to time, bring some new teachers, lay teachers, along in these spots so that we can give everyone an opportunity to be able to share their wisdom. There's a lot of lay people here at the Buddhist Society that have been practicing for many, many years, and have some very deep wisdom of Buddhism. So over the coming weeks and months, hopefully we will be able to showcase many, many more of our senior members, senior lay members here on Wednesday nights. So thank you very much for your attendance, and we will see you next Wednesday night.